Yeah, I think a lot of people are surprised that this happened in Moscow and Russia because they don't really associate ISIS being an enemy of Russia. But in fact, ISIS, since its inception, has been targeting Russia, targeting Russians. So this really isn't too surprising for someone who follows ISIS closely. It has been a bit of a time lapse since the last attack in Russia, but it's no surprise that Russia and ISIS have a very, very antagonistic relationship. And ISIS has several reasons to want to go after Russia in particular now. Russia has been attacking ISIS in Syria. Russia has been doing things to Russian citizens of Muslim heritage or who follow Islam now, for example, in the Caucasus or in other areas of Russia where there's a predominantly Muslim population. And ISIS, you know, takes this very seriously. And ISIS also looks at Russia as one of the main, what they call, crusader powers. So in their speak, crusader means Christian country. And so Russia is one of the most powerful Christian countries that ISIS views as holding down Muslims around the world and stands in the way of the recreation of the Muslim caliphate around the world. So they have many reasons to want to attack Russia, and they got the opportunity to do it.
Carl, when you mentioned that Russia has been poking the bear at ISIS and Syria and such, to me, from the outside looking in, Russia would almost welcome ISIS continuing to go against the West. Why does Russia go after ISIS? Is it just generally going after a terror group, or is there more to it?
So they went after ISIS in Syria for one simple reason, and that was because ISIS was threatening the regime of Bashar al-Assad, who's the leader of Syria, who's a Russian ally. And so Russia wanted to prop up its ally in the Middle East, so it got involved in the conflict in Syria. Syria has had a civil war essentially since 2011, and Russia came in to save its ally, and ISIS was one of the groups that it fought. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is that Russia fought actually harder against other groups that weren't ISIS initially, and only kind of towards the end of the major campaigns in Syria did they get kind of serious about ISIS. But, you know, it was enough for ISIS to really think of Russia as an enemy and a country that needed to be combated. And one of the things that's also important to know is that a lot of the people who were fighting in Syria against the Assad regime were Chechens or other Muslims who live in Russia who came to fight to reestablish this caliphate, which is really the dream, the main goal of ISIS, to create this worldwide Muslim government. And so these are people who already had a chip on their shoulder about Russia, and then it just kind of got worse over time. So there's kind of a sense of a vendetta, if you want to call it that, on the part of ISIS against Russia for what Russia has done to them historically.
With us this morning is Dr. Carl Kaupenthaler with the University of Akron. He's the director of the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies at the university. And I specified intelligence because, Carl, I know you saw this as well. The United States had some intel how ISIS was possibly planning some attack in Moscow, tried to pass that intelligence along to Vladimir Putin in Moscow. And basically, they shoved that aside, and even afterwards, saying that the United States was wrong and they were just provoking an attack and such. Talk about the intel and what you know on that side of this story.
So what I know is, you know, obviously what's out there in the press that I can talk about, and that is that the United States intercepted messaging between various members and cells of ISIS. And so through their intercepts, and this is stuff that's collected by the National Security Agency, which is probably the world's most active and proficient collector of electronic information is passed along from one individual to another. They intercepted this information, analyzed it, and came to the conclusion that ISIS was planning an attack in Moscow. And one of the things that's an important principle in the U.S. intelligence community is that there's a duty to warn. So it's not just a duty to warn Americans. It's a duty to warn those overseas who they feel will be the targets of a terrorist attack. And so the United States will even warn the Iranians. They would warn the North Koreans if the North Koreans were going to be the target of an ISIS attack. So they passed this information along to the Russians. Maybe the Russians looked at this as a provocative step by the United States to take attention away from Ukraine. That's possible. The messaging from Russia has been inconsistent since the attack. They said, oh, no, we never got this warning. Then they said, yeah, we got it, and it was a provocation. So pretty clearly, the United States did carry out this warning. The Russians got it. They didn't take it very seriously. And then there was an attack. And the United States had some pretty detailed information. They said they specifically talked about concerts. So there was some good information that they had collected. And it seemed like the security at this concert was very small, if not even there in any way, shape, or form. So a lot of people who were unfortunately killed because there wasn't robust security there. And then the response from the Russian forces to get there and to take out the ISIS perpetrators was also very slow, very inefficient. Russia was just really not ready for this.
Carl Kaltenthaler with us, University of Akron, again, director of the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. Carl, in the last month in Russia, they had the election. Of course, they had the Navalny death and then some protests going on in the streets. And now we've got a massacre in the streets going into a, as you mentioned, a theater. What's going on in this country? Are we starting to see some uprising? And what does that tell you about Vladimir Putin's reign?
No, I don't really think we're seeing an uprising. He's pretty secure. If anything, he's more secure now than he was in the past. Russia has become a very different country than it was just, say, 10 years ago. It wasn't free 10 years ago. It's certainly not free now, where you have some people who are very well-respected Russia watchers who are saying we haven't seen this level of repression in Russia since Stalin. I mean, even during the Soviet days, there was more freedom than there is now in Putin's Russia. So he has really cracked down on any opposition. He is really taking control of propaganda in the country so that your average Russian citizen is getting just nothing but what he wants them to hear. Other sources of information are squelched. Any signs of protest on the street immediately get squashed. So, yeah, he's quite secure. The thing I think that a lot of us think about is what happens after Putin. If Putin passes away in the next year or two, or even in 10 years from now, there doesn't seem to be any successor that he has picked. And that could really fragment the system. And what happens when Russia fragments could be quite a troublesome thing for the United States and for Russia's neighbors. Putin's bad, but what comes after Putin could be worse, which is kind of hard to fathom given how how antagonistic he's to the West and how brutal he has been to his own people. But Putin has set up a system where he really doesn't give any kind of institutionalized succession plan a chance, and so this is a pretty troubling thing to think about.